Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome to episode 51 of The Vampire Squid. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the truth about investing. And I thought this would be a good topic given this week is the Value Investing Conference hosted by Warren Buffett in Omaha. And today's episode, I'm going to focus on one presentation from one of the most respected investors nowadays. His name is Howard Marks, who is the founder of Oak Tree Capital. And Howard Marks is really known for writing these memos that he distributes to his clients and that he makes public. And people describe it as Michael Lewis ghostwriting for Warren Buffett. So they're both very entertaining and full of information, and you can learn a lot from reading these memos. But I wanted to focus on one of his recent presentations, which was called The Truth About Investing. And I thought this presentation was really intriguing and really thought-provoking because it challenges a lot of our core beliefs in investing and gives a lot of useful advice as to how to improve the mindset or how to reframe your thinking to make yourself a better or more successful investor. So as always, if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me at Alan, A-L-A-N, at thevampiresquid.com. And you can always visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. So the way I wanted to structure today's episode is I read through the presentation and I want to talk about some of my favorite quotes in the presentation. And I'll obviously include a link in my show notes so that in case any of you are interested in reading the presentation or taking a look, you can just read it for yourself. But for today's episode, I'm going to go over some of my favorite quotes and overlay it with some of my experiences and some of my thoughts and how I think it's a very inspiring or a very thoughtful concept. So the first one is, once in a while, someone receives widespread attention for having made a startling, accurate forecast. It usually turns out to have been luck and thus can't be repeated. And then the quote is, the investment business is full of people who got famous for being right once in a row. So I thought this quote was really good because there's one investor that immediately comes to mind, and he bet big during the housing crisis back in 2006, 2007, 2008. And he bought into things called credit default swaps because he was worried about the housing market and worried about the economy. And basically, if people started defaulting or not being able to pay back their loans, he would make money off of that. So basically, this is an insurance on pieces of debt. So he bet big on this. And during that year, I think he made around $15 billion. That's obviously an incredible sum of money, but since then, I think around 2010 or 2011, after he made all this money, he was managing around $36 billion. Yet today, he's managing only around $10 billion. And I think he's had quite a few down years and maybe one or two up years in the last six or so years. So I think this is a classic example of someone who got famous by being right once in a row. But then it goes to back to the point, does it really matter if you only get it once right in a row and make $15 billion? At the end of the day, does it matter? You can decide. So the second quote to follow on this is, one of the main reasons for this is the enormous influence of randomness. Events often fail to materialize as they should. Improbable things happen all the time, and things that are likely fail to happen. Investors who made seemingly logical decisions lose money, and others profit from unforeseeable windfalls. Nothing is more common than investors who were right for the wrong reason and vice versa. So I thought this quote really struck home for me because randomness happens. Low probability things happen all the time. I think 2016 was the year of low probability things happening. The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead to the Cavaliers in the finals. The UK went through with Brexit. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, and they hadn't won since 1908. And obviously, probably the biggest shock of them all is Donald Trump was elected president. Those were all seemingly very low probability things, but if something has a probability, then there's a chance of that happening. And I think 2016 was one of the years where almost every low probability thing happened. in terms of my personal experience with this randomness, I was actually thinking that Donald Trump maybe had a decent shot to win based on some of my conversations with Donald Trump supporters who seemed extremely impassioned about Donald Trump and for change. So to make good on that observation, I actually bought a few puts on the S&P 500 beforehand. A put is basically my thought process. I'm expecting the S&P 500 to go down. If it goes down below a certain threshold, then I would get a return on my investment. So lo and behold, that night, Donald Trump actually won the presidency. And I thought that I would get a return on my investment because I thought if he was elected president, then the market would tumble because of the uncertainty that a Donald Trump presidency would mean for the United States and all the relationships across the world. So he did win, but then the stock market has been on a tear for the last 6 months. I think we're in May now, and we've been hitting market highs, I think, for the last few months. That was also an event that was very unexpected. So I think I got one of the low probability events correct, but then there was another low probability event that the market would rip and after Donald Trump's presidency, and I obviously didn't get that one correct. And I think some very famous investors, including George Soros, also bet that Donald Trump would win and the economy would go down. But obviously that didn't happen, and he lost around $1 billion on that bet. So obviously I didn't lose $1 billion, but it goes to show that there was quite a bit of people expecting the economy to tumble if Donald Trump was elected president. But as it goes to show, random things happen, low probability things happen, and they can happen multiple times in a row. So if one of your events is linked to the other, then it can be completely random. The third one I want to talk about is superior results don't come from buying high quality assets, but from buying assets regardless of quality for less than they're worth. It's essential to understand the difference between buying good things and buying things well. So I thought this quote was very intriguing because typically people think of buying into a good company and it will go up no matter what. There will be appreciation if it's a good company. But with that mindset, I've personally invested in companies that are good companies, but during that time, it was overbought or the market value of the company exceeded what the quote unquote intrinsic or true value of the company should be, even though it was a great company. So I always remember this one quote saying, you know, beachfront property is what you always want to buy no matter what, because it'll always appreciate, which, you know, most of the times is probably true, but for the small times that it's not, you could lose quite a bit of money or you can lose quite a bit on your investment if you always think that good companies will always appreciate, because there's obviously a lot of great companies, but you want to buy it at a value. And even if you buy a company that's not so great and it's undervalued, then you could also profit from that trade as well. The fourth quote that I wanted to share is, to succeed, you have to survive. And in particular, that means avoiding selling out at market bottoms. It's not enough to survive on average. You have to survive on the worst days. Selling out at the bottom and thus failing to participate in the subsequent recovery is the cardinal sin of investing. The ability to persevere requires consistent adherence to a well-thought-out approach, control over emotion, and a portfolio built to withstand declines. And this is the quote. Never forget the 6-foot-tall man who drowned crossing the stream that was 5 feet deep on average. I think that's my favorite quote in this entire presentation. Never forget the 6-foot-tall man who drowned crossing the stream that was 5 feet deep on average. So if you've invested, I'm sure you've run into this type of psychology or these types of feelings. You buy into the stock, it might go up 10%, and then the next week it goes down 20%, and the week after it might go down another 5 or 10%. And you start panicking and you're saying, why did I buy that stock? It's already gone down. And you get nervous that it'll go down further, and then you panic sell. And then you sell the stock. Turns out 2 months later or a month later, the stock goes exactly back to where you bought it, or it could even be higher again. So if you've done your diligence on a stock and you have firm conviction that the stock is a good company, it's undervalued, and it'll appreciate, things happen in the market that are, as we discussed before, random, which can cause fluctuations in the stock. But time allows your theories and your theses to play out. So if you always sell in panic based on intra-weeks or intra-month swings in the stock price, then that's when you lose a lot of money. And I personally have obviously panic-sold because, oh no, the stock's going down. It's human psychology. If it's not going your way, you should get rid of it. But I thought this quote was really good. And the illustration of that six-foot man drowning in a five-foot average river really, really hit home for me. Because it's really tough to remove emotion from investing. And that's basically what you have to do. You have to get non-emotional. If the stock's going down and you have a really good thesis, theoretically, you should buy more of it because it's cheaper than where you thought it was before. And if you think it's going to go up, you can lower your cost basis. So people typically like to buy when the stock market's hot, when things are all going up. Everyone thinks everyone's going to make a lot of money. And that's probably one of the worst times to buy. And then when things are all going down, that's when people panic and sell. And that's probably the best time to buy. So very contrary to normal human emotion and psychology, but that's why investing, I think, is really hard. And the final quote that I want to talk about is the following. To ascertain whether a manager has above average skill, it's essential to observe performance over many years and in bad markets as well as good. Short-term outperformance and short-term underperformance are imposters that say very little about the skill of a manager. Randomness can cause a weak manager to show good performance for a year or two, but good long-term records are likely to be the result of skill. Absent testing in tough times, aggressive risk-taking in an environment that turns out to be salutary can be easily mistaken for investment skill. It's only when the tide, and there's a quote by Warren Buffett, it's only when the tide goes out that we finally find out who's been swimming naked. And then there's one more final quote, never confuse brains with a bull market. So I thought this really, especially the last quote, I'm sure many of you have invested in stocks. And because the general market moves up, your stock has also appreciated in value by definition on average. And you think, hey, I'm a pretty good investor. This stock has gone up. When it turns out it's a lot due to or driven by general bull market. So this happens to me all the time. I purchase a couple stocks, maybe do, you know, a couple hours of research beforehand, maybe 1 hour or so, and buy the stock and it appreciates. And I think, wow, I'm a pretty good investor. And then I realize, hey, the entire stock market's going up. So it's easy to confuse yourself to be a good investor when everything is going up. So then I make some silly trades or I make some more aggressive trades, thinking that I'm a great investor in a bull market. And then those trades subsequently fall flat on its face and I lose money. And that brings me back to earth. So, I mean, investing is very hard. And I think anyone that says investing is easy is either getting really lucky for a short period term or hasn't really done investing. If it was so easy, then everyone would be Warren Buffett or Howard Marks and making a lot of money on the stock market. But I think learning about investing and investing on your own is a great way to learn really important skills. So investing takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of conviction, and it takes a lot of analysis to understand a company, to understand its competitors, how it's positioned in the market, finding nuggets of information of why you think it's undervalued or overvalued, and acting on that, which I think this is applicable to many types of jobs that are out there. And I think everyone should at least have a trading account, whether it's a fake one or not, where you can use play money. But trading with your real money is very different from trading on a fake, you know, tracking account. So I hope everyone gets a chance to take a look at this presentation, and I'll definitely include it in my show notes. But thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys learned a few things about the psychology of investing and how Howard Marks thinks about investing. So I will talk to you guys next week. And till then, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me at Alan, ALAN, @thevampiresquid.com. And I'll talk to you next week.